The first lesson for today is from 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am." And ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel." Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go, lie down, and if he calls you again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is Psalm 139, verses 1 through 6 and 13 through 18. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my uniformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The gospel today comes from the Gospel of John, and then we'll be back in Mark next week. So the gospel according to John, the first chapter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." The The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So I've been learning a lot about Enneagram numbers lately. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Enneagram. It's like a personality inventory, like Myers-Briggs, that sort of thing. But there's 9 personality types, and each one's assigned a number. I'm a 1, in case you know about it. It tells you a lot about me. You can go look it up later if you don't. But I got a couple books recently, one about sort of understanding yourself better based on your Enneagram type and how you think and how you relate to the world, and then another one about how different Enneagram types relate to each other. And so I've been reading about that with people that I live with in my family and people that I work with and how we relate to one another. And I took these 2 books with me over Christmas, and I had shared it with some family, and Brett's family, my in-laws, were really interested, so we got it out, and everyone wanted to know, what type am I? What type am I? And so we were reading through the descriptions and trying to help each other figure out what different personality types people were. And everyone wanted in on it. The kids wanted to know. My brother-in-law was really excited about it. And it was very cool when we would sort of figure it out, when we would find a personality type and read the description, and it really hit home. People's faces was like magic. It was like we were reading their soul. And like I said, people just got really excited and they wanted to learn more and more. And I think the reason for that, the reason that all the different ages and different people wanted to get in on this, is because we all have this deep desire to be known. We all long to be known, whether it's by a spouse or a romantic partner or a really close friend that we can confide in. We all long for someone who understands us, who knows us, and who, after all of that knowledge, loves us. Our psalm today describes the gift of being known by God. The psalm writer writes this powerful description of God's complete knowledge of us, knowledge that goes beyond our own understanding of ourselves. God knows us inside and out better than anyone, better than we know ourselves. God knows every single thing about us, down to the cellular level. God knows us completely. And God loves us completely. And I said we all long for this thing, but we can never quite achieve it with each other, right? We only ever reveal parts of ourselves, even to those we're closest to. And we often even manage to hide parts of ourselves from ourselves. So we're only ever known in part. I personally have always been a very open person, a very honest person, and I think of myself as pretty self-aware. But now in my late 40s, I'm starting to learn that there are hidden parts that I've managed to hide even from myself. And I think that's because deep down, most of us are afraid that if we reveal the wrong parts, we will no longer be acceptable. We will no longer be loved. But the good news is that God knows it all. Every tiny bit of it, good, bad, and ugly, God knows us completely. And God loves us completely. So think about it. What are you keeping hidden from the world? God knows. And God loves you. What are you keeping hidden from yourself? What are you too afraid to admit? God knows. And God loves you. Our readings today connect this amazingly good news of being known by God to the idea of being called by God. In our gospel reading, we hear John's account of Jesus calling his first disciples. And for Nathanael, the call comes in the shape of being known. Jesus demonstrates a knowledge of Nathanael before ever meeting him, and that's it, Nathanael's hooked. And being known by Jesus, Nathanael experiences God. And then in our first Samuel reading, we get the call of Samuel, which involves God's deep knowledge of both Samuel and his mentor Eli. Now, because of the corruption of Eli's sons, God is calling a new prophet, Samuel, and he's a young boy still. And it takes Samuel a few times to figure out what the heck is going on, and he only figures it out with the help of the wisdom of his mentor, Eli, and his experience. And then what comes after this part of the story, we don't hear it today, but what comes immediately after today's reading is that God gives Samuel his first prophecy. And it's a doozy. He has to speak a word of judgment against his mentor, Eli. Now, because I was a kid when I first heard God's call to ministry, I've always related to Samuel's call story. But this week, I was really blown away by Eli in this story. When Eli hears the prophecy of judgment, this prophecy condemning him and his family, he accepts it. He doesn't argue or make excuses or deny any of it. Eli realizes that he has been seen and known by God, that he's been called out for his bad behavior, and so he accepts the harsh judgment. I had never thought about that before, but this is an amazing example of faithfulness. Stop and think about that, about what that would look like in our own time and place and context. When we, as God's people, hear criticism against us, when we hear prophetic voices from our young people telling us that we have fallen short, that we're not living up to God's call on our lives to love one another or to care for God's creation, can we accept it? Can we resist the urge to make excuses or argue or deny? With Martin Luther King Jr. Day being tomorrow, I thought about how our denomination, the ELCA, has been wrestling recently with the judgment against us as being the whitest denomination in the country. Literally. Based on numbers from the Pew Research Center, the ELCA is 96% white. It's higher than any other denomination. Can we hear that as a call to examine ourselves, to examine our practices, to really look at what we're doing that might prevent people of color and indigenous people from feeling welcome in our churches? Can we honor the prophetic voices within our denomination that are calling for reform? Calling for us to really listen to the voices that have not been heard in our past. LGBTQ+ voices. Voices of Black, Indigenous, people of color. Calling us to deeper self-knowledge. To examine our inner hidden prejudice. To seek deeper understanding so that we can be partners in anti-racism work and LGBTQ+ advocacy. The gift of being known completely includes unconditional love and acceptance. And it means being called out for our wrongs. God did not give up on Israel during this time of corruption. God did not stop loving them. Instead, God lifted up the boy Samuel to do a new thing. God used Samuel to bring a new future, even out of the corruption and decay, because that is what God does. No matter how bad things get, our God loves us and never gives up on us, but instead is constantly bringing new life and calling forth new voices. God uses the wisdom of the past with the voice of a new generation to continue to fulfill God's vision of a world where all people are cared for and honored and loved. The good news is that God always calls forth new things. Even when things are a mess, God keeps calling. Even when we don't get it, God does not give up. And God never stops working to bring about God's desire for us and for the world. The good news is that God knows us completely, better than we know ourselves. God knows us completely. And God loves us completely. Thanks be to God. Amen.